This is KUNM. I'm Ed Williams. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is moving forward with efforts to recover the Mexican gray wolf. While it's not yet clear if and when captive-bred wolves will be released into the wild, two captive-born pups were successfully exchanged with two pups from a wild den to foster genetic diversity for the species. Sherry Barrett is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Mexican wolf coordinator. KUNM's Anna Landy asked her why a wild wolf doesn't reject captive-born pups.
First, we take the pups out of the den and we mix them up with the new pups, basically. We make sure that we have them urinate on each other, and we pull some of the litter and debris out of the den itself and then rub that on all the pups. If the pups that we are bringing in have had some type of formula, we also put some of that formula on the mouths of the receiving litter as well. So we want to make sure they all smell the same. The wolves can't count, so they don't really know that there's a new pup in there.
Tell me more about these little pups. What do they look like? How old are they?
When we cross-foster pups, they're less than 14 days old, and we try and get the litters to be almost exact. So they're about a pound, about the size of your hand. They're deaf and they're blind, and so they are just really dependent on the mothers at that point in time.
So the permit requires a one pup in, one pup out policy. What happens to the wild pups that are now in captivity?
So they are now with that original mother from the captive program. And so she's accepted those pups as well into her pack. The captive population and the wild population have been divergent for a while, so there is some value to some of these pups going back into the captive population. As well, we're trying to increase the younger animals that are in the captive population. So demographically, this has also been beneficial.
What kind of problems come from the lack of genetic diversity?
So usually translates to a reduction in litter size or reproduction. We're actually not seeing that in the wild right now, although we are seeing some level of inbreeding depression in the captive population with regard to mobility of sperm and also the size of litters. So we started with only 7 animals. Because of that small number of animals, we have a potential to have inbreeding depression. In the captive population, we're able to determine which animals breed, and we have a computer program that helps us determine which are the best ones for different pairings. But in the wild population, we don't control that breeding to that extent. What we need to do is to reduce any relatedness in the wild population as much as we can by releasing those wolves from captivity. Back in 1982, when we wrote the first Mexican wolf recovery plan, there weren't any Mexican wolves left in the wild in the United States and Mexico. That recovery team did not provide any criteria that are necessary for delisting the Mexican wolf because they weren't sure if it was going to even work. And so what they said is to maintain a population in captivity of at least 250 animals and try and get at least 100 wolves back out into the wild. That whole recovery plan back in 1982 was really a hedge against extinction. And so now we're in the process of revising the recovery plan, and we'll have a draft this summer for public review and comment and peer review, and then a final in November of this year as well.
Do you guys know what's the number of wolves that are needed to reach a sustainable population in which the U.S. Fish and Wildlife does not have to intervene to keep the population genetically diverse or otherwise healthy?
That is the number that we will be providing in that draft recovery plan this summer, and any other criteria that are necessary for us to take it off the endangered species list.
That was the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Sherry Barrett speaking with KUNM's Anna Landy. Find pictures of Mexican gray wolf pups online at KUNM.org.